writes for a lot of business magazines, and she said there are 7 reasons we ask questions, and only one of the reasons is for an answer. Let me share them with you. Sometimes we want to know the answer to something. How much did that cost? The other 6, we have a different motive behind them. Sometimes they're testing you. Your boss may say, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Sometimes questions are accusing you. What did you do with the money? Sometimes they impose a delay to get you off their back. You may be in the meeting and say, and someone will sit you until I get some more data. Can you give me some more data so I can make a good decision? And that just slows everything down. Sometimes to express disagreement or disapproval. What did you do with the church's money? Did you spend it that way? To exert power. If you're a salesperson, you ask a lot of questions. And you can control the conversation through the questions. And sometimes to make a statement, is that going to fit the budget? You're making a statement. Do you know questions, we ask a lot of questions, people ask questions of us. But Jesus asked some questions. He had a purpose. Not because he wanted to know the answer, but he wanted to know your heart. Today we're going to begin a 6-week series on questions that Jesus asked. And today we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7. If you'll turn to Matthew 7, we'll begin in a minute. And when Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking to his disciples, and they have a lot of people gathered there. And he's not preaching salvation. He's not saying this is a new way of salvation. He says, this is how people of God live. And on the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of things he talked about. He says, this is the way it should be. This is how you interpret it and how you do it. And this is the better way. You know, he had the Beatitudes. Happy are those who, and you fill in the blank. There's 10 of them. Also, he talked about murder, reconciliation, and divorce, and oaths, and love. And he even taught us how to give. He even taught us how to pray, the model prayer there. He talked about fasting and anxiety. We're going to the golden rule, to treat others as you would have them treat you. But then he asked the question. Look at verse 3, if you will. Why did you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Now, that's an interesting question. It's 2, but it's the same one. To understand that question, I have to back up 2 verses. So let's look at verse 1. Do not judge so that you will be not judged. For the way you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Now, what Jesus is saying, do not judge, it's in present tense. And what he's saying to us this morning, he says, stop judging. That's exactly what he's saying to them. He's saying to us, stop your judging. Stop judging people. That's what he's saying there. It means to analyze and make a decision based upon what you see or hear, what you think. He says, stop judging people. It comes from a Greek word. We get a word critic or criticize, you know. And what he's doing is he says, stop judging. You know, he says, stop what you're doing there. It's not in keeping with who I am or who we should be. He says, simply stop judging people. He says, you know, if you are judged harshly, I will judge you harshly. He says, those who are merciful, I am merciful. Those who forgive, I do what? I forgive. And he says, you don't want to bring that judgment upon you. Now, think about it from a practical point of view. Do you want to be the most critical person in your work group? You want to be known for a person who judges others all the time? He says, you don't want to be. And this is a very practical sermon. You may not believe in God, but what Jesus is going to teach you is going to help you in your workplace and your family and friends. What happens when the most judgmental person in the office makes a mistake? Boy, you pounce on that dude. You just pounce on them and you point out where they're wrong because they've just been beating you up for weeks and months. And that's how you do it. Now, he says, don't judge people. Now, let me tell you what Jesus is not teaching, okay? If you look at the first 3 words, do not judge, it simply means that you and I cannot pass judgment on people. And most people understand that a lot. It means I can't say anything about your negative behavior. I can't say anything about you live. I can't. Basically, I just have to shut up. whatever you do is going to have to be okay, because Jesus said, don't judge. If that's what he's talking about, you and I can't pass any judgments at all. But if we look in isolation, what he means is you've got to live and let live. And a lot of you do. You have friends who simply say, there are no absolutes. If a person lives any way they want to, as long as it doesn't affect me, it doesn't hurt me, I don't care what you do. And usually when a person gets caught in a bad situation and they know that you don't like it, they'll quote scripture to you. What did Jesus say? Do not judge. So therefore, you got to leave me alone. Let me live my own life. Well, that's not what Jesus is teaching at all. Jesus teaches us harshly judgment, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But what he's saying is, you've got to be people of discernment. He's teaching discernment. He's saying you have to discern truth, and that's what is right. Because immediately, at the end of those five verses, he says an odd verse to us. Look at verse 6 for just a second. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, this is not your little dog at home. Our missionaries who were down in Acuna were told when they first got there, don't pet the dogs. Don't have anything to do with the wild animals. And dogs ran everywhere. In Jesus' day, a dog was a vicious, diseased creature that you stayed away with. From. It's not your pets. He says, don't throw that which is precious to the dogs, because when they eat it, they don't have any discernment at all. And don't throw your pearls before swine. You know, can you imagine? You know, I can see this in my mind. My grandfather had a pig pen, which we had a couple hogs in. He would, and he'd feed them every day. Can you imagine taking something that's really valuable to you and throwing it to the pigs? He says, throwing swine with pearls, which is a great value, they're going to stomp them in the feet. They mean nothing to them. What is he talking about? He's probably talking about those who are not open to the gospel at all and are hostile towards it. One decision I made many years ago was, if you're intoxicated, I'm not going to talk to God with you. I'm not going to talk about God with you. Because I've done that many times. I've had, you know, had a man say, here, this guy, you know, he wants to talk to God. He was intoxicated. Took him home. Next day he says, come to see me. When I came to see him the next day, he didn't even know where I was. I didn't have a warm welcome. I think that's throwing pearls before swine. They're just so opposite of it. If you read on in verse 15, Jesus says there are going to be false prophets coming to you. And you're going to be forced to make a discernment about who they are. And that is going to require to you to look at what? The fruits of their life. We know that if we go to the peach orchard, we're not picking up pecans. And you know if you go to the pecan trees out here, you're not going to have peaches. Jesus says, watch, discern their life and how they live. Look at the fruits of their life. And then we look in Hebrews, we're called on to discernment too. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Paul says he prays for believers that you and I would what? To discern what is best until the day of Christ. And in Matthew 18, Jesus says, if a brother is caught in sinning, go to him in privately and talk about that trespass. So therefore, we are required to make judgments. Just because we are. Let me tell you a secret. The closer you walk with God, the better your discernment will be. Now, here's something that you and I can never do. We can never judge another's motives. Ever. I can't do that. I have no right to do that. Do you ever judge a person's motives? Let me see. I know why they did that. Do you really? I know why they gave that money. So that it draw attention to them. I know why they did what they did. And I know they're smiling, but on the inside, they're mocking me. Do you ever judge motives? Probably so. You know, we think we do. Now, if we walk out into those pecans out there and pick out a pecan, do you know if it's good on the inside or not? You don't know until when? Until you crack it open and you take a look at it and you just see. See, here's the thing. God is the only one that can read the hearts. I don't know why you do what you do. And in fact, I'm never to question what you do. I look at your fruit of your life. I look at how you live and things that are happening. But this is what the proverb says. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Jeremiah said, our hearts are so sinful that you and I don't know why we do things. Have you ever helped somebody? And you said, the reason I did that is just to help them out. Maybe the motive behind it, and we don't catch it, is that we are self-righteous and we wanted to point out that they made a mistake and we can help them. Or maybe we bring attention to ourselves. Jesus says, you're not God. We're not God. And we fool ourselves by thinking that we can read another man's hearts. And that's something you can never, ever do. God's not fooled by our self-righteousness. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart is God. We're not to judge a person's motives at all. Just put that off. And if you catch yourself doing it, say, hey, listen, I can't read the heart. I don't know what they did. I'm going to accept it for what it is until they prove me differently. See, why did Jesus even ask these two questions? The reason is you and I are very quick to jump to judgments. We're extremely quick to pass judgment on other people. Now, we have a tendency to do it without ever knowing that we do it. You know that? Let me share something about you as women. And this is something that I have noticed over time. And I noticed a lot when my daughters were teenagers. Do you know how women judge other women? You start at the head, you go all the way down to shoes, and you come all the way back up. You do. If you're new to our congregation, and you'll see women go, and you judge her based upon her shoes or hair or whatever in between. Men, we're not guilty of that. We don't even know what type of shoes she's wearing. We only look at the face. We never judge, ever judge, the clothing they're wearing. It doesn't mean much to us. You ever pass judgment on your coworkers? You pull into the parking lot and you're the first one there every morning and you say, well, at least somebody's committed to the company. Or maybe you look and say, at 5 o'clock, you can't find a person in the office. They're gone. They leave at 5 and they're gone. Or maybe when they take a break, they don't take that 10-minute break. They take that 20, 30-minute break and you say, man, I can't believe they're doing that. They're just not as motivated as I am. They're not committed to the company. And are they one of us? Guys, we judge a lot of people and a lot of things, and we're not even aware that we're doing it. Heaven forbid. Do you pass judgment on people who come to our church? When I was growing up, and some of you can identify with this, there was 4 marks of a Christian. I mean, going to heaven. They got to Sunday school. They got to church. They got to Sunday night. They got to Wednesday night. They got all 4. And if they got all 4, they were good Christians. Now, who were the guys that were questionable? You didn't know if they were going to heaven or not? The Sunday morning people. You didn't know if they were going or not. You ever judge people about how much Bible they know or if they're just part of the body or just consumers or they're givers? We probably do that. Do you ever judge parents by their actions of their children? It came to me. Do you know who the best parents are in America? People who don't have kids. They're the best. I remember sitting, before we had kids, and say, man, when we have a kid, they're not doing that. They made a liars out of us. But that's what we judge them. And moms, you feel you're judged by your kids. If your kid, I was reading a great article by John Rosemond. He was talking about moms and how they feel. And one of his daughter wanted to pick out her own clothes and says, I can't let her go to school with stripes and polka dots. They'll think I'm a horrible mom. He said, this is not probably going to hurt the kid at all. Now, I know y'all don't ever do this. But just for fun, let's just think about it a minute. You ever judge your pastor? Obviously, you must be doing it. You know how you judge your pastor? Is he as good as those guys on TV? Nah, not hardly. They're on TV for a reason. Does he do the things you value? Does he take time for you? Is he doing the things the way that you want him done? And sometimes, you know, we do that. But you know, it's no escaping the fact that Jesus says, we have a problem. We are quick to judge. And sometimes we get so critical that it evolves into a great critical spirit. Let me tell you a story. There's a story going of a barber who was just a negative guy. Every time he went in, he had something negative. And a businessman came in one day and he wanted to, he says, I need your best haircut because he says, I'm going to Rome. I got a big business meeting. And he says, I want to go. And the guy says, well, what airline are you flying? And he told him, he says, you know what? They're going to probably lose your bags. They're going to be late. You're going to have delays. That's just horrible. What hotel are you staying in? Oh, man, I hear that that is so bad that you may even have to take your own towels. Service is horrible there. He said, the best thing you can do is stay home. Well, the guy says, I can't stay home because I'm going to close a big deal in Rome and I'm going to see the Pope. He said, what? I'm going to see the Pope. He says, listen, the Pope only sees important people. Well, he got his hair cut and he left. And several weeks later, he came back to the barber and he said, I need another trim. He says, well, tell me, how did that trip go? He said, you know what? That's the best trip I've ever had. The airline was wonderful. It was on time. They took my bags. Everybody was pleasant. It was a great flight. Well, tell me about the hotel. You know what? That's the best hotel I've ever stayed in. Service was out of this world. I'd stay there over and over and over again. He says, it was just wonderful. He said, well, tell me what about the Pope? He said, can I tell you the great thing about the Pope? I got to meet him. Well, what did you do? He said, well, I got down and kneeled before him and he put his ring down and I kissed it and he put his hand on my head. He said, well, what did he say? What did he say? He said, my son, where did you get such a lousy haircut? I dreamt about that last night. And you know what I dreamt? Someone told it before I did. I said, man, you messed up my sermon. Oh, man. But you know what? Sometimes we have a self-righteous spirit. And Jesus says we do. See, we're superior, aren't we? To others. Our theology is God-approved. How we worship and the time we worship is what God wants. Everybody else is just out of sync. You ever that way? You know, the Pharisees were eat up with self-righteousness. Jesus had his harshest critics to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. See, now listen, they were much better than we are in keeping religion. The Pharisees believed that if I keep all the laws, I go to heaven. And guess what? God will take me because of law giving. And they keep them and they do everything. And they look at people like us and we're people of the land. We don't have the time to do all the things that they did because to keep up with a good Pharisee, it was nothing but law after law after law. And it was a hard way, restrictive way to live. And they looked down upon everybody. Everybody. If you weren't a scribe or a Pharisee, they looked down upon you completely. But you know, Jesus says, we're quick to judge other people. We're hypercritical of others. Now, when Kevin and Brenda go home at Christmas, they spend time with the family and they go to our local church. And what Kevin does is he watches their music, watches how they do it, probably take notes. I do the same thing. When I'm away on vacation and we're worshiping in another church, I look at what they do and I'm like, sometimes I'll take a bulletin and write a note to myself. I'm watching what they do. And sometimes we'll say, not doing that in our church. Automatically, I knew. Tim Nashworthy is an excellent carpenter. And I'd imagine for Tim, when he walks into a building, he can tell if something's plumb. He can tell if things are level. And I remember when we were building our first building, we'd go into, you know, I'd go into a building, I'd look at the pattern of the tile on the floor. I'd look at the trim along the wall and see if it had one of these in it. We just have that tendency to do that. Now, if you are a great cook and you sit down and eat at a person's house, when you eat that meal, you go, I don't think I'd put that much salt in it. Or I think I'd have cooked it a little longer. Can you see how it happens to us? It just kind of sneaks up on us, guys. It's not something that we start out to do. But it's there. I'm going to give you some applications about this. Here's the problem. We're ready to pass judgment when the matter has of no concern to us. If you find yourself passing judgment on things that have nothing to do with you, you have an opinion about it. It has nothing. They mean nothing to you and you mean nothing to them. And what your opinion will never change anything, but you pass that opinion. Now, spouses, I want you to help each other out this week. When we begin to do something, I want you to start pointing out, say, but don't fight about it. Listen, here's the application. If it is of no concern to you, leave it alone. What are we going to talk about? That's the real issue, isn't it? Sometimes we allow prejudice to supersede principle. A critical spirit, they allow all their backgrounds, all their traditions, all their preconceived notions. They allow race and gender and politics and economics and all these things be the most important thing in making a decision. You know, the thing about it is, you and I've got to take race and gender and politics and economics and traditions out of the equation. It should be a filter that when they come through, we stop it. But you know what? Every decision we make is filtered through the filter of our lives. And we have to look and say, am I guilty of unfairly judging someone because they are different than me? Sometimes we allow personality to determine if we like people or not. Or, you know, in place of principle. You know, some of you, when you come into a room, automatically people just flock to you. They just love your personality. And, you know, a great personality, we kind of like them. Even politicians that we don't care for their politics, we like them as a people because of their personality. Is it possible that you judge others based upon their personality? Whether you like them or not, or you trust them? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do that, you know. It's just we either like them or we don't. And if we don't like them, we make judgments about them. We've got to look past that to the character. What did Jesus say? Look at the fruits of their life, not their personality. Now here's just a fourth one. When you have a critical spirit, you have the ability to make a judgment with no facts or very few facts. It don't take a lot. Maybe we need to get all the facts before we make that judgment. You know, when you think about it, Jesus says, y'all guys have got a problem, and he's right. Some of the things I talked about today are some of the things that you and I have done. We're all guilty of doing those things. Now, here's what Jesus says. Examine yourself before you pass judgment on other people. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? He says, that's who you are. Think about it. Now, what is a speck? Well, Jesus worked in a carpenter shop, and maybe it's a speck of dust. I remember helping my dad get up hay, and my grandfather, and all that dust and stuff would flow, and what would happen? It would hit me in the eye. And that was what he's saying. It's something so small that it means absolute nothing. It's just there. There we go. He says, look at this guy. This is us. This is the beam that's in my eye. And what is, I have the beam in my eye and I want to help you with a speck? Jesus says, you got to think about this, guys. This doesn't fit at all. He says, it's insignificant. Now look, who does he say is the doctor? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The word that he uses is hypocrite. If we're this way, he says you're a hypocrite. That was the word that Jesus referred to the Pharisees and scribes more than anything else. He says this is who they are. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and who despised all others. Jesus says to do this, it's foolishness. That's what you're doing. Now what is he asking us to do? The first thing he's asking us to do is, before you and I begin, we got to look and see, do we have sin in our life that keeps us from what? Helping others. He says, examine your own life. Have you ever got really ripped to somebody? And if you're honest with yourself, the reason you're so mad at them is because you see that in yourself. And you hate it. That's what it means to examine our hearts. The reason I judge you so harshly is I have the same problem that you do. I have the same issues that you do. And I don't like those issues because I hate them in myself and I hate them in you. He says, Ron, examine your life before you begin to change others. And he tells us, examine your heart to see, too, that if you deserve the same criticism. And probably so. Now, I want to give you four things. We're going to go home. Now, this may be something, cut out your bulletin, put it on your refrigerator, wherever you see. The first thing I learned today is, I cannot judge motives. Stop judging motives, Jesus says. You're not God. The second thing, if it's no concern to me, I need to leave it alone. I've got to take all of these preconceived notions and traditions that I have about people and the race and the gender, the politics and all these things. I got never to use them to make a judgment about someone else. And if I catch myself looking through those lens, I've got to cleanse it. I've got to clean it, don't I? And I've got to look past personality to character. But most of all, I've got to examine who I am. Will you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for your word that truly, Father, is something that every one of us struggles with. Father, help us to be the people that reflect you. May we be slow in judging other people. May we be forgiving. And Father, we ask that you help us to look at our spirit and make sure it conforms with you. Thank you, Father, for your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning we give you an opportunity to take that next step in your life, whatever that would be. If I can help you, let me know, okay?
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.